This is an ABC podcast.
Okay, you can tell me. I promise I won't tell anyone. But I want to know, what's the juiciest morsel of gossip you've ever heard?
The juiciest piece of gossip that I've ever heard probably comes from the workplace.
A friend of a friend was dating someone quite well known, I want to say. It's very juicy.
It was a secret relationship between a boss and their junior.
But there were so many people involved, so many secrets that were intertwined in it. So every time I got like a little morsel of it, it was like feeding my soul.
Love it. Love the goss. And you probably do too, because most of us get a kick out of learning information we should not be privy to.
We're social creatures. We spend a lot of our time in the social world. And gossip allows us to kind of keep track of what's going on in that social world.
Like, gossip's something that's been around since the beginning of time, I think. Like, everyone gossips in some way, whether it's about celebrities or people at their work.
This is Megan Pistetto, and she loves gossip so much, she's made it her job.
I'm the host of the So Dramatic podcast, which is a reality TV gossip podcast.
Her show is part of a constellation of similar pods and social media accounts peddling celebrity gossip. De Moi, the Instagram account, is my particular obsession. But a part of me has always wondered why people care about gossip related to celebrities people will never meet. You can understand the appeal of information related to people you know, but celebrities? Anyways, we'll get into that, but what really interests me is how our love of gossip combines so many paradoxes. We dismiss it as frivolous, but it serves an important social function. It can be fun, but it can also do real damage to a person's reputation. And even if we love gossip, we don't always love a gossiper.
You get people that you've written stories about that hate you because you've exposed something they've done, and so they take it out on you. And like in the early days, it got so intense. I actually ended up in hospital because I was like so mentally destroyed from like months and months of severe trolling and threats that I just, had a full-on mental breakdown.
You're listening to All in the Mind. I'm Sana Qadar. Over summer, we've handpicked some of our favourite episodes from 2023 to revisit. So today, the good, the bad, the ugly of gossip.
I'm going to laugh at you.
We humans are natural-born gossipers. We start doing it around the age of 5, sometimes earlier.
Certainly if you think of children telling on one another, they do that from a really, really young age. I expect as soon as kids, are able to cognitively sort of represent other people's behaviours and feel that they've been done badly by, and they can talk about it, they're passing all that information to others who they think can help them.
Kim Peters is a social psychologist and professor of management at the University of Exeter. She researches the flow of reputational information through social networks, which is another way of saying gossip. And when those kids are telling on their friends, they're engaging in one of the main functions of gossip, which is to communicate social norms, or what is and isn't considered acceptable behaviour.
So the idea is that as soon as you let gossip flow through a network, we can learn about other people. So we can learn, are they cooperative? Are they uncooperative? Is this a good person to collaborate with? Is this someone I should definitely not collaborate with? And if we can get that information, then we can make smarter decisions about how we interact with other people. So, you go into a new workplace and you sort of warned about someone and told that someone else would be a fabulous mentor. Well, that's super useful information. So the social control function then operates in two ways. It both allows us to know who we should interact with and who we should avoid. But it also means that we're all incentivized and motivated to become the kinds of people that have positive reputations that others want to interact with.
But I feel like a lot of gossip that you do hear has to do with like sex or relationships or who's cheating on who, that kind of thing. Is that a main focus of what gossip is?
I think when the gossip that comes to mind, I think, tends to be the sort of salacious and scintillating gossip, which does tend to, as you say, be around sexual behaviour, particularly indiscretions, scandalous things that happen in people's relationships and so on. From a research perspective, we take a much broader approach. So we're just very interested in, what the impact of all the different things we say about different people are. And a lot of those things are much more trivial or neutral, but we would say that they're very important for social life.
Welcome to So Dramatic Daily. I'm Megan Pistetto.
But sex, scandal, indiscretion, those are the bread and butter of Megan Pistetto's gossip podcast, So Dramatic.
I mean, a lot of it, yes. Like, we have a lot of secret partners that come out, or ex-partners cheating. There's also stuff, though, like, that's out of that realm. Like, we have people that have had physical altercations or criminal charges, or fraudsters. There's been a few fraudsters, drug use, just like bullying, nasty behavior. So it's a real wide range of topics that we cover.
Do you find there's a particular kind of gossip that's most popular, though?
Cheating and secret partners, probably the most popular.
Goes down. So much drama, so little time. Let's get into the show.
And Megan's podcast is itself incredibly popular. It's focused on reality TV stars and their antics, which is not everyone's cup of tea, but it is a lot of people's cup of tea.
The point of difference for the podcast, and which is, I think, why it became so successful, was that we were breaking stories that were nowhere else.
A So Dramatic spy exclusively reached out to us.
She says somewhere between 70,000 and 180,000 people listen each month. And yearly, she averages 4 million downloads.
I mean, a win is a win.
But we also tried to, and I think this is another reason why the podcast has been so successful, is that we try to start really important conversations and discussions through the gossip that we present. So we add meaning to it. We add like social context. If someone on Married at First Sight does something horrible, we kind of break that down and talk about why, and like explain why that behavior is not okay. So that's why I think gossip can be really, really helpful.
And what motivates someone to get in touch with you with a piece of gossip?
For contestants, it's usually they've had a bad experience, or something didn't get shown that they wish had been shown, and they want that to be put out into the public, or they've had a really bad experience with production. You know, I've had a few contestants come on saying how they had a horrible time filming and they don't want anyone else to go through this, so they're trying to raise awareness. Obviously, some people are doing it for self-serving purposes, like they obviously want more publicity or whatnot.
Right.
But yeah, I'm really surprised when people do come to you and they're like, I just want people to know this, like, and there is really no self-serving element to it.
Do you care, though, when it is just a self-serving thing? Like, do you attribute a moral judgment to the kind of gossip you're getting, or are you like, if you're giving it to me and it's solid, I'll go with it?
Not really. I mean, like, if it's a good story, who cares?
Yeah.
But sometimes I have people on the podcast and I'm like, I know that they are coming on here to get their extra 5 minutes, but it is amazing tea, it's amazing story, so who cares?
Okay, but why does anyone care about celebrity gossip? Whether it's Hollywood A-listers or Aussie TV reality stars. You don't know these people, you'll probably never meet them, so why are we invested?
I mean, I think some people would say, well, it's us kind of making a bit of a mistake. I mean, they feel very familiar in some ways. I mean, particularly people on TV or the movies or politicians we see in the news. So although, of course, they're completely distant from us, in some ways, when we evolved, that just wasn't the kind of environments we're in. The people we know about are people who are in our networks. And so even though we know we're never going to ever meet these people and they have no impact on us, we still, at a sort of more primitive cognitive level, associate visibility with importance. And so we act as if they were in our networks in terms of how much we care about what's going on. So, I mean, that's one possible explanation that's been raised. I mean, I think what I would say, though, is, okay, that may or may not be true, but it's certainly the case that this information is really entertaining. You know, we're fascinated about other people and the crazy things they do. So I think part of it is it's just fun. But then there is also another function that may come up here, which is that even though these things don't have a personal relevance for us, you know, the fact that someone cheated with someone else or whatever, it does help us to revisit social norms. We can have a good discussion with someone else about it. And in the process of being entertained, we're also kind of reinforcing what we think appropriate and inappropriate behavior is. And that also has a benefit of, you know, if you're telling a really entertaining piece of gossip to someone else, you can sort of bond quite well with that person. So it allows us to kind of connect with others and have a good time.
Yeah, right. Okay, so it sounds like there's plenty of pro-social, quote unquote, or good aspects to gossip. But what are the factors that make gossip especially harmful? Like, I feel like gossip can be weaponized to really target people, bring them down, especially against women.
Yeah, absolutely.
From that perspective, there's quite a lot of interest in whether people lie when they gossip. And so, you know, to some degree, you could see that gossip is something that, you know, it's pretty easy to just make up something, right? It's not like speaking to other people is a particularly costly thing. And so if you are inclined to lie, there's nothing much to stop you. And so that's one of the arguments that have been raised around, you know, whether in real life gossip really does help us to shore up cooperation, because people say, well, if we deceive, if we lie when we gossip, then it's not going to work really well, right? You're just going to have all this false information flowing through networks. It does harm to innocent people. And we just learn to disregard it because we know it's not particularly reliable. And so that's one of the areas of research that's been receiving quite a lot of attention recently. It's obviously quite challenging to study because we don't actually get to hear people's everyday gossip and we don't know what they're gossiping about. So it's very hard to know, you know, in one's everyday life, how much are people telling the truth or not. But we've set up various kinds of lab studies where we get people to engage in a range of different interactions in a network. And then we give them the opportunity to communicate. And we're able then to see, you know, what are the kinds of circumstances under which people are likely to lie about the people they're talking about, and what are the kind of lies that they tell.
Before we dive into Kim's study and what she's discovered about lying, a quick word on what counts as gossip, how it's defined.
The definition that researchers use these days is quite different from what the average member of the public would think of it. So they would tend to think of scandalous information, particularly around kind of secretive sort of stuff, and also have a focus on really negative kind of talk. Now, as researchers, we take a different perspective because we're interested in what the functions of this kind of information sharing are. And so you can say, well, okay, so the kind of scandalous, prototypical gossip is certainly very entertaining. It's different from the everyday conversation we have about other people. But are the functions really that different? And from a researcher perspective, we'd say probably not. Whether you're talking about someone's sex life or whether you're talking about, you know, some other more neutral thing that you know about a person, it can probably serve fairly similar functions. And so if the functions are pretty similar, then we should probably think about it as being the same kind of thing. So we would consider gossip to be any kind of information we share about third parties who are not present. So anytime we're talking about someone else, we would say that's gossip.
So a pretty broad, almost counterintuitive definition. But given the essential function is information sharing, it shakes out. Now, back to Professor Kim Peter's study, looking at how often we lie when we gossip. In a series of experiments, she and her colleagues brought groups of 15 or so people together and gave them a game to play, where they had various incentives to either share or not share resources, to treat each other fairly or unfairly. Professor Peters and her colleagues found, generally, people were pretty honest about the information they shared with each other about each other.
Because we want people who treat us well to be treated well in the future, and we want people who treat us badly to be treated badly in the future.
But that changes when you add competition into the mix.
So if the person I'm talking to is someone that I'm actually competing with, then I'm motivated to lie about you because I don't want them to benefit by interacting with you if you're trustworthy. And I actually want them to lose out if I know that you aren't trustworthy. So in that very specific circumstance, we find that people will lie. But otherwise, they generally won't. And again, if we don't provide a very strong competition motivation to get people to lie, the kind of lies that people spontaneously tell tend to be more along the lines of exaggeration. So if you treat me well, if you're really trustworthy, I'll tend to exaggerate that and say, oh, you know, Sana was amazing. You know, you really should invest in Sana. Or if you weren't particularly trustworthy, then I'll tend to exaggerate that as well and say, oh, no, Sana was really terrible. Definitely don't interact with her. But those kind of exaggeration lies, I guess you could say, are pretty harmless, really. That's sort of like good advice. You're like, you're really encouraging someone to do something that you think is the right thing or not to do something that you think is the wrong thing. So that's the kind of spontaneous lies people tell in the lab.
Do we have any sense in the real world how much of gossip is lies versus real information being swapped?
No, we don't. And you have to, I mean, from a research perspective, you have to think, how difficult is that? Because not only would we have to get people to tell us the gossip they've heard or they're talking about, but also we'd have to know what is the actual behavior that happened that underpins the gossip. So, you know, it's pretty much impossible to get an actual understanding of what happens in everyday life. I think, though, that there it's helpful to reflect on our own behavior or the kinds of things that have happened in our networks. So, yeah, I don't know what your your personal insights or intuitions of that are?
I feel like most gossip you hear probably at least has a kernel of truth. It might be exaggeration, you know? But, I mean, unless we're back in high school, I don't feel like I hear lots of outright lies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. It's not to say that it can't happen, but I think in particularly in connected networks where it's like there's a chance that you could follow that up and find out what the truth is, I think people are not actively going out to deceive, to be, you know, complete sociopaths. I don't think that's particularly common. Not to say it doesn't happen, but I think it's not common.
Yeah, I feel like sort of in the networks that I do speak in, like I might hear one kernel from here, one kernel from there, and it all kind of links up. So you get a sense of the picture, but obviously you don't know fully exactly what's happening. Whereas, like, you know, going back to kind of high school, immature type of gossip, I felt like back then a lot of it was targeting women. A lot of it was probably lies about people's behavior and this and that. And like, it could really bring people down. It could really have quite big consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think talking about the kind of high school thing, and I think it's a lot of that around sort of dating and that kind of behavior. And that is a space where you may get people who are actually competing with each other a little bit, right? So it's kind of you both like the same guy or maybe sharing information which brings people down, or, you know, allegations around people engaging in sexually promiscuous behavior and so on. I think those are quite common, and absolutely they can be super harmful. So, you know, the research that we do generally shows that at a social group level, because gossip allows reputations to form and people to compete for reputation, generally the group level effect is a positive one. So people behave better, they're a bit more cooperative, that kind of thing. That's not to say that there aren't times where gossip can actually do a lot of individual harm. Like any kind of surveillance and monitoring system, even if the information is accurate, I think it can, you know, constrain certain kinds of behaviors in ways that could be quite harmful.
How do you discern truth from lies? Or do you sort of just put it out there and that's the listener's job to sort of have a think about?
No, I definitely don't just put it out there. There is a whole process of fact-checking. And before the podcast, I was working as an entertainment journalist. So I've got, you know, a number of very reliable, like, industry sources, connections to reality stars, a whole range of people that I talk to. But yeah, there's a whole process. I mean, first of all, it starts off with like a gut instinct. And after doing this for 10 years, you really do pick up on signs and like some, you know, straight away, that's not true.
And when people get angry or upset after you break something, how do you manage that?
I just offer them a right of reply and give them the chance to share their story. And a lot of times they don't want to, because a lot of times they are guilty. But I mean, people need to understand that if you are going on a TV show or you're becoming like a public figure, you are going to be held accountable. Like, you won't be able to kind of get away with stuff that you would have before, maybe.
Do you think people are, you know, influencers and celebrities change their behavior or are playing it safe now because you've been covering these stories so closely?
Probably. actually, probably not. I don't think they actually care a lot of the time. Like, people will purposely behave badly because they know that it will get headlines or...
That's interesting.
Yeah, and some people continue to do the wrong thing even if they've been called out. So that's really interesting to me, because I'm like, you've been called out for this before. Like, why are you continuing to do that? And then you just kind of think, are they just doing it for attention?
Right. That's interesting. So like, this current time and culture we're in is perhaps actually negating that social value of gossip, where you communicate appropriate behavior and people kind of learn what's the right way and wrong way to act. And actually now we just want headlines. So it's all good.
Yeah. Well, people are so thirsty these days. Like, everyone wants to be an influencer. They want to be a TikToker. And I think some people see that as a way of getting like notoriety and becoming famous.
And talking about gossip more broadly, does everyone engage in gossip? Like, the stereotype is that women are more prone to it, but is that entirely correct?
No, it's entirely incorrect. Everyone does it. I say everyone. I mean, again, there's always a distribution with long tails. So there may be some people who firmly say, I'd never talk about other people. I mean, I would, you know, again, I think if you're taking this broad neutral definition of gossip, I would be extremely surprised if there really are people who never talk about other people. I mean, that would make your life really quite difficult, I think. So in terms of the stereotypes, as you say, about the gendered nature in gossip, there's absolutely no evidence of that. What you may find, though, is that genders talk about slightly different things. And this really comes to, do you think information is trivial or not? Or do you think what you're talking about is very important and serious? If, for instance, if you think that, stereotypically, maybe women are talking more about things that their female friends are doing, that other people would say, oh, that's really trivial, you just shouldn't waste your time talking about those things. But, you know, guys might go against stereotypically and spend time talking about the performance of teammates on, you know, a sporting context. And that's exactly the same. You're just talking about other people, but you're just having slightly different topics of conversation. But, if you're talking about it in a sporting context or, you know, someone's workplace behavior or performance, people say, oh, no, that's serious. So therefore, it's not gossip. But we would say, no, it's absolutely gossip. It's just a slightly different topic.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on why, like, when we think of gossip, we think of women and we think of, like, a negative sort of picture and a frivolous kind of picture? Do you have any sense of why that is?
It's very interesting. Look, there's been, within many cultures, there's been kind of a warning against gossiping, particularly in various kinds of religious traditions and so on. And it also does tend to associate it with women, like women's talk. And I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it was because there's one way in which women could have some kind of power in a community where they were generally disempowered is by kind of sharing information, having insight into what was going on in the community, potentially banding up and responding to that information. It was actually a way of them getting some kind of power. And those in charge may not have appreciated it very much. So that's, you know, very much a supposition. But this is culturally a common thing to think of it as, you know, women's talk and trivial and a waste of time and something that's really immoral. And that's something that research definitely does not support.
Yeah, right. Okay. And I feel like, again, talking about gossip more generally, I feel like there's a sense that everyone loves hearing gossip in a sense. They love swapping gossip. But if someone is a known gossip, you know, someone who particularly is engaged in this behavior, people can tend to start feeling quite wary about them. So there seems to be like this ambivalence between loving it, but then being kind of wary and mistrustful of it. What do you have to say about that? Do you have any explanation for that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that is, well, I think we recognize the fact that when we share this information, particularly negative information about people, even if it's truthful, we're aware of the fact that we're potentially doing someone harm indirectly, right? So I think there is this mixture. I mean, you know, on one hand, if people do behave badly, it's generally useful for others to know that so that they can, you know, adjust their own behaviors accordingly. But on the other hand, I think, you know, we generally are not super thrilled at the possibility that we may be hurting other people. So I think it's just reflecting that the two sides of it, this is useful information. Sometimes it's very entertaining information, but it is also information that may do harm. And so, you know, I think it just reflects the fact that we're all aware of that. We enjoy it, but we're also just like, you know, I feel a bit bad about the fact that we had this fantastic gossip about someone.
Was there ever gossip you thought in hindsight that you shared that you probably shouldn't have put out there?
Not recently. Look, I think back in the early days, there was definitely stuff that I put out that I probably shouldn't have. And I learned from that. I think it was all kind of new to me as well. And there were some things that I definitely regretted putting out.
What was like, what made you regret it, or what was the nature of it that made you think, actually, I shouldn't have put out there?
I think just at the start, I was a bit more like free with what I put up there because my platform wasn't as big. And I just thought, you know, not many people are listening to this. But then when the podcast started to get really big and we got like a lot of media coverage for all of our stories, I was like, okay, we actually need to like be really careful of what we put out now because we do have a lot of power in the space. And what we put out, people really do trust, and it can lead to people getting backlash. So I think there's just more like of a higher level of like accountability, I guess, of thinking of the repercussions of what we put out there.
Has anyone ever spread gossip about you? And if so, how did you find out?
Oh, so much. There's so many rumors about me going around.
What have you heard?
There's a whole subreddit thread. I shouldn't be promoting it, but there is a whole subreddit thread dedicated to me. Like everything on there is literally untrue. And I just think you've really got to think about like the intent and the motive behind why people are sharing gossip when you hear gossip. Like, I obviously do this as my job. I go to extreme lengths to make sure that everything is factual and fair. as opposed to someone who's spreading gossip about someone that they hate or they've got a personal vendetta against them. I think you've got to really think about why is someone sharing that gossip.
How does that make you feel, seeing that kind of stuff written about you?
Oh, it's been awful. It's honestly been awful. Like in the early days, it got so intense. I had like hate pages started against me. I had people attacking my family, stalking my mom, stalking me, multiple death threats. Another time I actually ended up in hospital because I was like so mentally destroyed from months and months of severe trolling and threats that I just had a full-on mental breakdown.
Whoa. So,
yeah, it is pretty intense. But that was like about a year ago now. I'm much better, in a much better headspace and able to deal with it.
Has it made you think twice about, you know, carrying on with the gossip pod?
I did think about like not wanting to do it anymore, but then I feel like they've won, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of continued on. I'm lucky that I'm a really strong person because I don't think most people wouldn't be able to handle with the stuff that I deal with on a day-to-day basis.
So what keeps you in the game then? Why do you still love goss?
I honestly love what I do. Like I said before, I'm very inquisitive. I'm very curious. When I do have like a victim of like sexual assault or something and they trust me enough to share their story and raise awareness for other people, that stuff's really important to me. I also find it really fun. Like it is a form of escapism. A lot of people say like your podcast got me out of bed for an hour. I went for a walk and, you know, I've been super depressed. So it's just stuff like that. It does mean a lot to people and it can really provide escapism for people that need it.
So there is a lot of nuance around the role that gossip plays. It's not simply bad or good. It can be somewhere in the middle or both. But if you're still inclined to think, overall, gossip is morally dubious, it's frivolous and a waste of time, here's a final defense.
I think one of the things that surprised me is the more recent findings that suggest that we share about as much positive gossip as negative. I think, like a lot of people, you know, the negative stuff is what sticks in mind. So it's interesting to think that actually we spend quite a lot of time sharing positive information about others. So when you're talking, you know, I think in the workplace, you may spend a fair bit of time venting, and the venting stuff and the entertaining stuff will probably be more on the negative side. Mm-hmm. But we may spend a fair bit of time also talking about people who did a fabulous job, who got promoted, or, you know, someone who is super helpful, someone who's a great mentor. You know, I think these are just things that we kind of take for granted and they're not as memorable. So
right.
We sort of think they're less frequent, but I actually think they are frequent and they're also important, even if they don't stick in our mind quite so much.
I would just say, like, if you don't like it, just don't listen, because a lot of people do like it and it does mean a lot to people. And, you know, gossip is information sharing, and that is super important to society. It's especially important on topics that people are too scared to speak about, or a person people are too scared to speak about. And we saw that with the Me Too movement, how important it was, where so many women came forward and felt supported because other people were speaking out, and it became a channel of communication for these women, and they formed this network where they could protect each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because that Weinstein stuff would have absolutely started off as industry gossip for many years.
Exactly. People knew about it for years and nothing was done.
Yeah.
And that's where I think gossip is really important and can be used for good.
That's Megan Pistetto, host of the reality TV gossip podcast, So Dramatic. You also heard from social psychologist Professor Kim Peters from the University of Exeter. Thanks to producer Rose Kerr and sound engineer Isabella Tropiano. That's it for All in the Mind. I'm Sana Qadar. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.